Hi, and welcome to Funky Kid Podcast, episode 27. I'm Winston, and
you are
Loli,
as well as
Lyrica.
Great. So, welcome to another Funky Kid Podcast,
number 27.
So, we're gonna start and keep it nice and short, and start with one topic each, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
that was the plan.
That's the plan. Trying to keep it under 45 minutes.
The goal is not to kind of
wander off,
which we did a lot.
Okay.
In the last 26 episodes.
I'm going to start with wearable tech.
Wearable tech.
Yeah, wearable tech. So that'd be...
You're actually wearing your tech now.
Yeah, this is a Bluetooth headset from Jabra.
Jabra.
So it's I think it's called Jabra UC Stealth UC. Works with Android phones, iPhones.
You love those. I remember you've always had like your Bluetooth headsets and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean this is pretty handy. I mean, gone are the days of getting my my headphones out and trying to figure out where the cable untie the, you know. the headphones and then kind of plug in the jack when I could just switch it on and it's connected.
Yeah, but the problem I always have with those is
the battery
charge life? Them. The battery life's fine.
Yeah.
But then you always if you want to guarantee that you've got enough
you generally
have to charge it every day.
That's right.
And then you forget.
Yeah, I guess. But like a phone, you know, as soon as you get in the house, you just plug it in and charge it, right?
So is it comfortable to wear it all the time?
Yeah. It's got this like a rubber hook.
It looks like it's going to fall out, though.
And it stays in your hole. It
stays in your hole.
Excuse
me, this is the tech podcast.
Yeah. So, yeah, it kind of fits quite snugly, actually. And works pretty well. Yeah, I mean, there's ones which are actually in-ear, actually... a small
spongy thing.
I
wear the wired in-ear ones. I always prefer those.
Yeah,
it blocks out all the noise.
That's true. This one doesn't block all the noise out, and you sometimes have to push it in a little bit. I guess everybody's ears are different, so you have to find the right
hole
angle,
the right earpiece.
Oh right, okay.
The rubber earpiece that fits your ear. So.
But that's not what we want to talk about, is it?
Yeah, I mean, wearable tech.
Drifted the first question.
Yeah, wearable tech as in, you know, the smartwatches, the fitness bands, you know, and that kind of stuff. Google Glass, that kind of came and went, didn't it, right?
I mean, Has it not come yet?
I mean, it came and went, and it didn't go to public sale, but I think it went out to a lot of the developers and...
The Google
beta testers.
Glass.
Yeah, wearable glasses with the lens and the
yeah, was
the
it on
LCD.
The market?
No, it wasn't on the market, no.
Yeah, it was.
Not for the public, no.
No, it wasn't?
You have to... Well, if you can afford it, pay $1,000 for it, then yeah. But they had limited...
I think they had a small run of manufacturer.
Yeah.
And then
They weren't going to support it or anything like that, you know, in terms of consumer products. But it was a good piece of tech, but I think, like any manufacturer, technology or hardware is available, but you have to get software for it. Right?
Do you think that was the problem, the software problem? Because it was running Android, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you rely mostly on Google software, on Android, then you need developers to develop suitable software for it, and it hasn't got that big. Apple style, you know, the ecosystem, you said.
See,
right?
But I don't think it was the ecosystem that held it back. I think it was the actual creep factor. Because if anyone, imagine you're talking to a friend and all of a sudden he's got a camera in your face. You'd be what are you doing?
That's true. You don't know whether they're recording you or whether like...
Yeah, he's like, oh, nothing, I'm not recording you. I just got a camera pointed at you.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah, that's true. It's a bit of a privacy issue as well.
Yeah.
Or privacy issue. And I think that not everybody's, into it.
Comfortable. Not yet, I think. I think it needs to be a little bit more discreet. I think we'll get there eventually.
Oh, that's next door.
I had a smart. I bought the Apple Watch though, and notice hence I don't wear it anymore.
Yeah. Why?
Because I lost it.
Oh no!
You lost it again.
Not again. Oh. I just lost it the one time and then.
How do you lose it?
Wait, I thought you bought another one. Oh, you didn't.
I didn't buy another one because it was fairly useless. I had it for 3 weeks.
Useless as in what? So
in terms of tech, it was a great piece of tech.
Right.
It was snappy. It was really fast in terms of what it was. It told the time really accurately.
But what were the apps?
But for me, well, at the time it was still version 0 point something. So it wasn't version 1, or was it version 1? So that was before Apple started actually allowing you to install apps on it.
Right.
So you had to install the apps on the phone and then you tether it, right?
Right.
So I don't think there's much difference either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the only use that I had for it was to...
The fitness stuff.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was just to see my messages.
Oh, like
the fitness I can do with my...
Your phone.
My phone.
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
So I got a step monitor and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could get a constant heartbeat, but then I actually don't know what that means anyway.
Yeah. Funny enough, I posted this quick look at this... Xiao Tin Chai. It's like a China branded smartwatch for kids with GPS tracker and SOS calling. It's a pretty nifty little thing, and it costs like probably $40 US. Basically, it's a smartwatch for kids, and it has a SIM card, cellular SIM card you can put in. It can't ring out. It can only receive calls. But imagine it's ideal for kids. Right, 6, 7, 8 year old, they probably think it's not good enough, right? But anyway, it's for kids, so that their parents can track them. You know, imagine they're out.
That's a bit creepy as well.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Especially today, kids, you don't know where the kid's gonna be, right? You hear kids being.
Well, you're the parent. You bloody should know where the kid's gonna be.
Kids outside playing, right? And then suddenly, where are they? You don't know where they are. It could be at a friend's house, you know, you don't know. So kids, 6, 7 year old, you're not gonna give them a smartphone, right? Unless you
I
probably got it. If your kid got kidnapped, then whoever did the crime forgot to take the watch off, then you could track them.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the only
but
purpose.
This watch allows parents to ring that number. And then the watch will ring, and the kid could just press the answer button.
Oh, so the kidnapper can say, "Well, I want £1,000 ransom for your kids."
Yeah, it has apps for your either Android or your iPhone, and it allows you to track that watch, the GPS location.
In theory, it's good, but I think it's flawed, right? Because remember when you first had a mobile phone, you might not remember this lyric, and when we first started using SMS messages.
Yeah.
So you always check your phone. I think people do that now. They're just checking their Facebook, they're checking their notifications.
Yeah.
So that parent's going to be obsessed with checking, where's my kid, where's my kid, where's my kid, where's my kid, rather than just looking out of the window and say, oh, there's my kid.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
But and then the first parent to lose a kid while wearing a watch is going to sue the company.
yeah. These days, you never know. But wearable tech. I mean, it's going to be. It was big when I mentioned a few years ago, and it's still growing. I think they're still trying to figure out how people's habits, what they use it for. You know, fitness band is fine. You can measure your heartbeat, your number of steps, and how many calories you burn. But what else? I mean, what else can a smartwatch or a wearable tech can do for you? I mean, especially with this year with the police brutality stuff in the US, they're wearing cameras now. On each police officer has a camera that they've mounted onto their uniform.
Yeah, we saw that in the Hong Kong riots as well.
Yeah, and they don't have to do anything. They just the films live and it streams to their central server somewhere.
Yeah,
it gets all recorded. Things like the Bluetooth headset I was talking about. But imagine here you can have like in-ear hidden, kind of discreet units which you can just plug in like earplugs, plug it in, and it becomes like
It's kind of spilling over to the same topic that I was going to talk about, which is basically how It's not the hardware that's making a difference these days. Mm. It's the software.
Software.
And what software is enabling us to do is just to measure things, right? So
yeah.
There's a term called the Internet of Things.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Internet of Things, yeah.
So none of that is actual modern technology per se, as in hardware. It's more, you've got that tech there in place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can we utilize that to the, you know, kind of the best
yeah,
use?
Yeah, I mean, the technology, the hardware-wise, doesn't have to be any, you know, mind-boggling nanometer processor chips or stuff like that. It, you know, if you look at the Raspberry, you know, that little PCB unit.
Did you see the new Raspberry Pi?
Yeah,
it was
Raspberry
$5.
Pi, yeah.
They were giving it away with a magazine. It's
yeah.
not that cheap now.
You can program that damn thing to do anything. You can put XBMC, like I said, the Kodi stuff on there. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's got this built-in
yeah.
memory in there. You can, if you don't have enough memory, just plug in your SD card or your USB memory, and away it goes.
Yeah.
So the technology is there. In fact, technologies are, I would say, pretty advanced for what it is now.
We're definitely underusing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Software needs to catch up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But software needs a lot of development, a lot of R&D, a lot of time, good programmers, beta testers, and all sorts. I mean, yeah, it takes years of development.
Tweaking. But this is what I think is so exciting, is because or what's so unique about the software industry or the
mm-hmm.
tech industry is that this term open source has become everything.
Yeah.
Even Apple has made their, you know, latest
yeah.
programming language open source. Only because it accelerates,
yeah.
The development and the usage.
A massive community of open source users. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You know, gone are the days of in house only, or you know, I mean, if you look at BlackBerry, they were in house only, and look at where they are now.
They've just released their first Android phone.
yeah. There you go.
How are they doing, really?
Well, BlackBerry.
Yeah, but they are the security.
They pride themselves,
right?
in the security, in their email system and all that kind of stuff. But now,
they don't have market share. They're not losing money per se. They're making small profit, but then that profit is shrinking by the day. So
yeah, they've become just an average, ordinary smartphone maker now. I mean,
yeah.
They haven't got any good innovative technologies or phones. I mean, yeah, back in the day where people couldn't get used to the touchscreen for typing, and they prefer the keyboard itself. But now nobody needs a physical keyboard. They've changed their habits to using a touchscreen now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's no real need for the keyboard for the phone anymore.
Yeah. And BlackBerry, they own a lot of the IP for the technology.
Yeah,
so
they still do. Yeah, yeah.
They're probably surviving off the
yeah,
that kind
yeah.
of, rather than sales.
So wearable tech, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can see it growing. What new stuff they will come up with, I don't know. We mentioned, we went to Central Pool today and we saw the VR goggles.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty interesting. Loads of like fitness wristbands and things like that, smartwatches. I think we'll see more of that. We'll see more probably like, you know, stuff we can wear.
Data
itself.
Isn't it? Is the
like
accumulation of data.
Yeah, I can see them making a glove soon, where it can use for, you know, yeah, like a smartphone, but wearable in a glove style. Yeah.
No, I really.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, I know it's only TV shows, but there was one TV show called I can't remember what it's called now. It's about this woman who travels back to the past, and she's like a super secretive operative, and she had this suit that she wears, and it's a smart suit. It's like a tight body, you know, covering suit where she wears, and yeah, everything is all tech.
And
yeah.
What did they do in this movie? Sounds kind of sexy there.
Yeah, she's a police from the future.
It's an ordinary film
yeah.
that he watches.
Yeah, you watch that in your room by yourself.
It's called Quantum. No, Continuum. That's it. It's called Continuum. It's not very catchy, famous, or popular, but
or good.
Yeah, it was okay, but she was wearing this bodysuit, which has a lot of tech stuff on it. like, you know.
But you have those now. You have the running heart rate monitors where
yeah.
you can just stick on.
Oh, right, right.
So you
right.
use them two or three
yeah.
times until the stick runs out and then you dispose of them.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they send Bluetooth data to your telephone.
Yeah.
So you don't have to carry your telephone, that kind of thing. So there's it's definitely there. It's just
yeah.
manufacturing costs bring that down. Whoever's writing the software kind of defined that.
Yeah. And I see a lot of the new TV shows out now. I know it's the new TV shows, but they have these smartphones or tablets where it's like see-through, you know, I don't know, LCD display.
I think that's just TV tricks. They're not actually using it. Someone else is in the background.
Yeah, it's like touching the air, right?
Yeah.
And it's waving the arm.
Well, that's
away.
Just a Nintendo Wii, isn't it?
yeah.
So
that's right.
Xbox Connect.
Yeah.
That's considered low tech these days.
Oh, they did manage to do like a.
It sounds so easy when you said that.
3D. I think it was managed to do some 3D hologram with two Kinects, Xbox, but that was
yeah.
old news. Anyway, that's my wearable tech topic, so
yeah.
let's move on to your software stuff, right?
Yeah, so software is just to continue on from, you know, the Internet of Things, how we're measuring things. And then on top of that, I guess the big one I wanted to hit on was, are you aware of like how much information you get from the internet, say Google and Facebook.
How much information they get?
That is actually tailored to you rather than you think you're having an organic search.
As in, if I type a keyword, Google will give me the stuff that
it thinks you want.
It thinks I want.
Rather than it actually just searching.
Back in the day, it used to be, but now from what I hear, based on a lot of the cookie stuff and the browser settings,
yeah.
it will track and monitor your habits somehow.
Everything, yeah. Basically
so
everything.
If you're into, like I said, the last few days or last few weeks, I was working on this Kodi project on my jailbroken
Apple TV.
Everything I type in related to kind of, you know, that kind of stuff just popped up, whether it was the ads, whether
yeah.
it was related articles or that kind of stuff just popped up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with
the Google ads everywhere. I mean, you see Google ads in all different, you know, websites, right? So,
yeah. So before it used to be, remember the big thing for Google would be AdWords, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The big thing now is for them to retarget.
Yeah.
Retargeting. So they basically install a cookie on your computer.
Yeah.
Right. And then it profiles you. So Winston is X age, he's a male, he lives in Hong Kong, he likes to see this stuff,
yeah.
right? And me, as someone who wants to advertise, I can pick that criteria, and then every site that supports the Google ads and banners and everything,
yeah.
you will see the same ad.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
The only reason you're seeing the same ad is because you've got a cookie stuck on your computer.
Yeah. Remember there was one ad that it was like everywhere? What was that ad?
Maybe that's just for you.
No, it was basically everywhere. It kept on popping up everywhere. It was the
Mac cleaner.
Oh,
Mac cleaner.
I hate it.
Yeah. No, it was I can't remember what it was. It was not eBuyer. It was,
you know, Mac cleaner, the company, they got hacked recently and they lost some data, right? So they came out and
yeah.
and said, oh, our database has been hacked, so you better change your passwords and everything,
yeah.
all that.
Uh-huh.
And they reported, you know, roughly about 4 million users.
Mm.
So 4 million people have been cheated to use MacKeeper. Lyrica being one.
Oh, right. Yeah, I never believe in that stuff. If it pop up a message, oh,
yeah.
Your PC is getting slow, please click here to... don't.
But the case is...
I didn't click anything, though.
At some point you did.
I don't think I clicked anything that tricky.
Yeah, what's the message that popped up?
Huh?
What was the message that popped up?
I don't know. It's just there somehow. It's on my computer now. But I don't know how I got it on my computer and how can I remove it.
Yeah. Well, it can be removed somehow. It's you just have to research, look into Google, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's it, my New Year resolution, getting rid of MacKeeper.
But even Facebook is quite serious. Because if you notice, some of the old friends that you want to see, you won't not necessarily see. It's because they do monitor what you watch all the time, and they'll start ignoring people who maybe update less.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed the Facebook.
Facebook. Then they're always changing the algorithm, so.
Yeah. I only use Facebook as a form of social
spamming.
Media. Yeah, you can call it that. Where if anyone's following us on Facebook or Twitter, then yeah, occasional posts I make, and then hopefully I'll reach out to you guys. But yeah, I mean, software wise,
you'd be surprised. These algorithms that they're using these days, it's quite scary at the same time, but then at the same time, I think it's quite interesting to see. Because even I design websites and I help people market websites, and I myself use the Facebook Pixel, which again is the tracker, which monitors everyone who goes to that website, and then it serves you the traffic, you know, adverts on Facebook. So you can still make money from it. And is it intrusive or is it not intrusive? I say it's not intrusive. Same as Google Ads, only because you're using the service for free, so you're making that judgment.
I mean, the ads on our website are more based on not so much, oh yeah, we're gonna make money, or we're gonna put these ads on there, because we only put it because it's like almost a space filler, make it look a little bit more colorful, that type of thing, you know. Whereas if it's just an empty box, then it'd be just plain boring. So I'm hoping, you know, to make it more fancier with different, you know, banners,
different ads.
But what Google serves, I can't help, I'm afraid. So unless we get paid sponsors, that'll be good. Then we can have nice ads and nice looking ads.
Or relative.
Yeah. I mean
relevant.
I'd rather have decent ads from our sponsors rather than some ads served from I don't know who, which are not relevant, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So,
have you had any feedback from last week regarding what we can add or?
I spoke to Chris, our US team. He's gonna hook up with Matthew, which apparently only lives quite close from where he is, and then we're gonna do a US session as well, and integrate it into our podcast.
Yeah,
and expand it our way, but yeah, feedback pretty good. We're gonna be, in fact, right now, Chris posted a competition for all you users out there and readers. Basically, you just need to sign up to our forums and post "I want this," and you'll get to win a chance to win a ATX case from Benefix. Yeah, so
yeah, that's pretty good, and that's all off the back of the podcast, right? So
podcast, yeah, and reaching out to all our readers and thanks to our vendors for helping us that. Interestingly though, I'll give you a surprise next month, because next month we have something even better. Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah. Based on my recent project.
Freebie.
You're giving away your secondhand Apple TV.
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
the jailbroken Apple TV.
Yeah.
Not even that. Something even better.
Something even better.
Yeah. So, if you keep an eye out on our website or listen to our podcast, you'll get to know what it is, and we'll make an announcement next month on our next podcast.
Yeah. Because we used to have loads of really good giveaways before.
Yeah. We had good headsets to give away.
Yeah.
Gaming gear. There was motherboards with mini ATX motherboards we had, so lots of stuff, yeah, from our vendors.
Yeah, so as we build momentum, the better support we're gonna get from the outside. So keep the feedback coming in.
That's right, and the bigger the prizes.
Yeah, and you gotta be in it to win it.
That's right.
That's what we used to say.
Yeah. So talking about software wise, I was gonna post some stuff on like how all the startups company work. You know how they started. Especially like Instagram, Pinterest, and all that. And funny enough, I was looking at my Facebook page, and I noticed one of our members, Wing. He posted
Wing.
He's
also in Hong Kong as well.
That's right. Yeah, he's working for Apple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lois worked for Apple too.
Secret.
Yeah. But anyway, he posted some stuff on how these startups managed to get to where they are now. and looking at it was an infographic of how, like, a flow chart of little cartoons and how they started, and in every single one of them it was about to fail, and then suddenly
pivot
and an idea, and then suddenly works but still lacking something, funding, bang. And then it was, I think
generally what they started with is they started with one concept.
Yeah.
They gain a small but loyal following. Then they listen to what the user's using, or monitor what the users are using, and then they tweak it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is also that, like I said, 90% or even 99% of majority of startups do fail within the first 3 years.
But that's only
timing
they,
and luck also.
Do you think?
I
think it's the fact that, do they really figure out what their users want, or do they not? Because if I design something and I do what I want to do all the time,
and you have to be in the right place at the right time. If you look at it's true, because if you look at all these big so-called startups now, a lot of them are from where, or originally started from where? California. And what is California? You have the Silicon Valley there. A lot of them are dotted around that area, because you know why? Because they need the funding. And where did the funding come from? Already established big companies, like, from, you know, not Google itself, but people who are backing Google, people backing Yahoo,
investors.
Yeah, angel investors. They have the money to push and to drive your startups. I mean, if I had a great idea and I started up somewhere, I don't know, in the middle of Malaysia or India, who the hell's going to give me some funding, right?
No, it's doable, even in Hong Kong.
I guess. But then you have to be local market, local region.
No, there's Gag 9, which is big in Hong Kong. They have close to 15 million uniques per month.
Mm-hmm.
There's SnapT.
There's a few. It's difficult, but timing, luck, I guess.
I think it's coding talent. This is why a lot of them come from Silicon Valley, is because that's where all the talent is.
Yeah,
people. It's like if you want manufacturing, you're not going to go to UK first, or America first.
You want to be a factory in China, right?
You go to China, or you want apparel, then maybe you go to like Cambodia or Vietnam.
Yeah.
Or even Bangladesh for, you know, dirt cheap.
Incidentally, talking about software, GE.
Who are they?
General Electric. Huge. But they're working on, they've announced it this year, is they're starting this GE Digital.
Is this insider information?
No, it's public. It's public information. GE Digital, which is pushing software.
Where does it push it?
Well, they're working on not consumer software, but more industrial software, hoping to develop a platform where other big industrial companies will buy in.
Just enterprise stuff.
Yeah,
because that's where the bulk of their business is.
Industry, industry stuff. So, digital, and they aim to be, they reckon, top 10 software company in the next 5 years. So, big software companies like.
But what are they? What are their? What's their main business at the moment? It's hardware.
Healthcare, engines, power stations. Trains, airplanes, all
it's
sorts.
Very general companies. Same, I think they've got the same syndrome as Philips. Philips, huge company.
Yeah.
But if
like
I ask you,
Siemens.
Siemens as
well. Same thing. Yeah.
IBM back in the day. If I ask you what are they actually famous for, you're like, I don't know, but I know they're huge. So, right.
Yeah.
So even Nokia is still huge.
Nokia is. You wouldn't believe it. You think Nokia? Where are they? They are. They're still making money, and they're making money through the backbone. A lot of the backbone infrastructure of telecoms.
Yeah.
They're making money from there. All the antennae, aerials, big station,
did you realize the sale to Microsoft wasn't the Nokia as in everything Nokia?
No.
It was only the Lumia telephone.
The brand.
Brand,
that's it.
So Nokia, I think coming this year, 2016 or 2017, they're going to start releasing phones again.
Same with Google when they bought...
what kind of phone? I'm not following.
You know Nokia telephones?
Yeah.
You know the Lumia?
What kind
of, they sold it to Microsoft.
Yeah.
But the world thinks that Nokia Microsoft purchased Nokia. They didn't. They just bought the brand of the Lumia, phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So when that, I think the, it expires next year, they'd be able to start releasing smartphones.
Yeah.
So we see actual real Nokia phones.
Yeah, same with Microsoft. Sorry, Google.
Hope that
bought,
goes well.
Google buying.
Could be if they take on the
software. Motorola, right? Google bought Motorola. It wasn't the Motorola whole business. It was the only the mobile.
They sold it again. They took some of the IP
they
and
they
sold it again.
They took all the IPs out, man.
Such a clever move. Everyone's like, "Why are you buying?" And they're like, "Oh, that's why."
Yeah, they make money off the IPs. That's what most businesses do. And then the brand name is, well, depending how big the brand name is, it might be worth a little bit, it might be worth a lot. But yeah, it's just sold out, and I think it's being bought by.
It's a Chinese company.
I think it's Lenovo.
Yeah,
Lenovo.
Chinese company.
But.
Don't you think Chinese IT companies are huge right now? There are like
they're huge. Baidu is bigger than Google.
They're huge, but they only well, from what I can see, they're serving their own
market.
Yeah,
but isn't that enough?
That's enough.
It is enough.
I went back and got amazed by how smart those apps are.
It's the same as back in the US, back in the day in the US with the music industry, right? You could become a multi-global platinum, multi-millionaire singer just by surviving your market in the US.
American football.
Yeah.
Those sports stars are billionaires.
Honestly, those apps are so good. I went back and installed one called Didi Da Che.
What does that do?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
No.
No, what does it do?
No, okay, it's like Uber. But it's not. It's like
it's a taxi calling.
It's taxi calling, but also you can call for whoever just happened to drive to that direction. They can give you a ride.
Car sharing, Airbnb
carpooling.
For cars.
Carpooling, right?
Carpooling.
Yeah, but everything in one app.
Yeah, but carpooling, don't the drivers have to be registered?
They have to be registered. Yes.
Uber. But
Uber
do they have
style.
To that DD whatever? Do they have to register?
But the good
they
thing
do,
about
yeah,
is
they
is that they can take the payment off WeChat, which is
yes.
the messaging
yeah, yeah,
app.
Yeah.
You use WeChat payment.
WeChat, a messaging
WeChat
app
pay.
in the China or Asia is massive. It's like Skype or imagine Skype you doing payment.
No,
it's PayPal for the phone.
It's
PayPal for the phone. But then that's not even that amazing to me because I've known for like the last 10 years they've used text message to make payments.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
in
that's
Africa,
right.
Africa.
Yeah, even Africa. Yeah.
But then why we've never had it in...
Because I think Western users, especially back in the UK, US, is the payment over the phone system is... I don't know. For me, I had this feeling that it's not secure. Maybe that's it.
But if we're going for a dinner, I spot you £10 or $5 or something, $10 or something like that. What's the big deal?
No difference.
I could do that with a tenner.
But... Yeah, I guess. But I think it's to do with, especially in Europe, in European countries, the privacy laws are really tight, especially in Germany.
Yeah.
So sharing data, sharing kind of details, payment details, that kind of stuff, they take back, they don't really do that. They think twice.
What's the difference with phone payment and online payment? It's just, if you buy things online.
I think with online payment, especially in the UK, I know that the credit card can refund or you know, if there's anything fraud detected, that you can get reimbursements, stuff like that, right? But with a phone payment, there's nothing covering it, I think.
There can be, but then the reason why credit cards are so expensive is in terms of interest rate
fees.
Is because of the insurance that you're paying for.
Yeah.
But then but when we're talking about small little payments, then that insurance almost becomes useless and we shouldn't be paying those high charges, which is why they can use text message, they can use WeChat.
Yeah.
Eventually we'll get there. I think there's a free...
But Hong Kong is so slow though.
Hong Kong doesn't accept wireless payments.
I got so amazed by those apps.
Because of the local monetary...
Financial
policy,
services or whatever they call it.
Stuff, right? Each country has its own...
So
policies.
Before they used to have like a debit card you can go and pay for your device, you know, in the Apple Store. But they changed to a new wireless system and they can only use credit cards, but they can't use that type of payment now. So you can't even use that.
Right.
So it's that's why we don't have Stripe. You know Stripe, no?
Stripe.
We don't have PayPal here.
Oh, the PayPal. Yeah.
PayPal here. So it's basically, so that's why all these small shops, they can't just have a credit card payment system through their telephone. It's because we don't have Apple Pay or Google Pay. It's because of the stupid laws.
Yeah, each country has its own policies and regulations.
Yeah, eventually we will have, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's the same as Bitcoin, isn't it? Right. I mean, is it illegal payment?
It's not illegal, but it's not legal either.
It's not legal
by regulation.
The country's own, you know, regulations and stuff like that. It doesn't. To them, it's.
It's not classed as currency.
Yeah.
And it's not regulated. That's why it works.
So within its own community, right? Or Bitcoin users or traders, whatever, it's fine. Because they you know.
But that's the whole point of Bitcoins, is to remove it from the establishment and make everybody the kind of responsible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't
it's
get...
It's the risk of the fluctuation, isn't it? It's very unstable in terms of...
it's fairly stable.
Is it?
Because
the last few... Well, a year or a couple of years ago, they heard that it rocketed into like $500 per Bitcoin, and now it's dropped down to, I don't know, a few hundred.
But then if you say, theoretically, the way it's designed, you'll never finish mining all of it.
Yeah.
Right, so there's another, not Bitcoin, what do you call it? Digital currency, cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah.
Called Dogecoin.
Dogecoin, what's that?
Yeah.
The first time.
That was someone else taking a mic originally of Bitcoin, and they started their own, right?
All right.
And they changed the rules a little bit, changed the algorithm a little bit, and they've, since the beginning of this year, they've mined all of it.
Already?
All of it, yeah. So what that will create is a higher value.
High value of the coin
instantly,
right.
But then the advantage of a Bitcoin and a Dogecoin, the digital currency, is one coin doesn't equal one payment, so you can cut that up as many times as you want.
So one coin could be split into,
So you could be buying a can of Coke in 10 years time for like 0.111111111 bitcoins. So when the value hits that high, yeah. So it's an infinite value.
Yeah, I think it's just crazy how things have developed in that sense. But I can see it going that way. Digital payments, people won't have to carry cash anymore.
World currency, universe currency,
yeah,
universal currency.
You don't need physical cash anymore, right?
Yeah.
And banks, you don't have to have a physical bank to bank your you know, money.
You get a digital wallet, you just get a this.
Yeah, okay, my experience of that drive, what is it called?
Share drive.
Carpooling service.
Yeah. So,
thank you for putting this back on track.
Because I want to talk about the payment. I really got amazed. I got, because that was my first time using it, I got a 10 RMB coupon. The whole ride cost me 13.3, so I got that 10 RMB coupon already. I only need to pay 3.3 to that driver, and that was also my first time using WeChat Pay. So I was like, but I'm not sure if I have enough money on my WeChat Pay to pay you right now. And he's like, oh, no worries, you can pay me in 3 days, 4 days, whenever you have time. And I was like,
oh, super
easy. I just got...
Was that a taxi or a normal driver?
Just a driver with a brand new Hyundai or something, you know.
No, I think what it is, this carpooling service is a good idea, and I think for this driver, for example, it's not his full-time job.
No,
right?
It's just he was on his way to a hospital and
exactly.
I was on the way.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter when he gets paid on it. He will get paid because he signed up for this carpooling service. The carpooling service company or the software.
Either
or the
guarantors
app,
or whatever.
He will pay the driver and...
No, I will pay the driver. But because I have the WeChat Pay linked to my bank card, so I cannot really not pay because... Because
if she wants to use the service again, she has to finish the last payment first anyway.
Yeah, understand. Yeah.
So...
So... Yeah, as I said, because he doesn't have to rely on the fare as a living, he can just say, yeah, pay me next time, whatever.
Yeah, but it's so convenient. That's what I mean. Like, it's so convenient. You don't have to bring charges with you.
That's great, and I think it works as well. But
have you used the Uber in Hong Kong?
I haven't, actually.
Have you?
No.
No, okay.
Is it good?
So what makes a taxi service good? What's the one thing that makes a taxi service
good? On time, cars available, and, you know.
In Hong Kong, just having a nice driver.
Nice driver, yes.
If a really nice guy pulls up and says, sorry, I'm a bit late. But then Uber, you can never be late because you've got the time on there anyway, right? He's got the estimate time, so you'll see the timer. He's 3 minutes away. And even that 3 minutes takes 6 minutes. It doesn't really matter because you know you can see where he comes from, right?
Yeah, the service.
Yeah.
You have to be polite.
Yeah, there's times when even on a busy day, you can't get a taxi. And and even if you try to get a taxi, you flag one down and say, oh, yeah, I'm not going your way, sorry. Or I'm on a call.
Yeah.
All this bullshit reason.
Well, a taxi driver once told me that he doesn't know where Mong Kok is. So that's like telling me I don't know where London is. Right? And I flipped up and I was like, do you mean you don't know where Mong Kok is? Or do you don't want to go towards that
apparently
direction?
If a taxi driver says that, he doesn't know what the location is. But mind you, you need to be sat inside the cab. And if you mention a destination and he doesn't know, then... You can actually complain and actually raise a complaint, and he can get penalized because as a taxi driver being signed up with the license and everything, he needs to...
He's liable,
yeah. Yeah. And he can't refuse a fare.
Yeah. So these,
if you've gone in and sat in the car, oh, I want to go here, even if it's like 200 meters in front.
But that's why these services are succeeding, because these... stupid drivers who think they've got the upper hand.
The taxi drivers.
Right. Whether now that they've got this app and then their name and address and their reviews are on there, they're accountable and they actually want to drive.
Yeah. Oh, the driver has a name, like a username with star ratings.
Yeah, they've got ratings.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah.
So
exactly like Airbnb.
So imagine I can sign up myself as a Uber driver, right?
Technically, yeah.
And then, so say I pass all the requirements and I have my own car and I just sign up to this Uber, and then when I go online, I say, yeah, I'm ready, and someone pings me.
I think Uber, you can have your favorite driver. I think most of them you know.
Yeah, so if I do good drives or do good taxiing for these people and they give me good reviews, like eBay, I get good stars, right?
Yeah.
And I get more fares,
you get an honest, you know, review. If you're a dickhead, then you're going to be called a dickhead.
Have you tried Uber? I mean Uber.
Yeah, I've tried
Uber.
Yeah, I tried Uber in New York. I tried Uber in Hong Kong as well. I wanted to try Uber in Cardiff, but they didn't have it.
They have it in London, right?
They have it in London, but didn't have it in Cardiff.
So a lot of places, they do have Uber, but what's the big issue in I think it was in France and a few other cities?
In mainland, in Hong Kong, in New York, in London. It's because they're going against the regulations, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're basically using the loophole in terms of a chauffeur license.
Yeah.
And using them as a taxi service. But then a chauffeur license and a taxi license is two different things.
Two different things. Well, they shouldn't call it a taxi service, and Uber shouldn't be called a taxi service.
They don't. They call it a black car service, which is why all the cars are black.
Has to be black.
I think so. Not all of them, but then they call,
they call
the black
it.
Car
if
service.
They call it carpooling service, then.
But that's illegal.
Is it legal?
No, because you have to be registered to be a taxi if you want to carpool.
But you're not a taxi driver.
But you're receiving payment, so therefore you are. So I'm a black car service, which means I'm a chauffeur. So then that's what the loophole they're using. See what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And then, but the government, local governments, they're pissed off because they're losing out on the. Taxation.
Their fees and licensing, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, pros and cons. I mean, I never really used the service. I've been in a cab, or a black cab or a Uber car, whatever, by a friend who ordered it, right?
Is it convenient? Should I download it right now?
Yeah, you can actually track where the car is and everything. And because that driver... obviously car plate you can recognize from the you know the
yeah
order.
I think you get $100 when you sign up.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing where, you know, I mentioned, you got the Uber cars and everything, but there's also the van, the hire van.
Yes, I used those many, many times.
Those are great.
Go-Go van, Easy van.
That's right, yeah, you can hire the van. They're cheaper than a taxi.
Yes, they are actually cheap,
way cheaper, almost 60% cheaper, right?
60% cheaper. Well, not maybe.
No, but wait, it'll cost me
cheaper.
Yeah, they're definitely half price, definitely. From the New Territories to here, Prince Edward, it would cost me about $250.
Long distance, you can, because you fixed price, because you can discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the van, suppose only carry one passenger, suppose. All right.
It depends. Which type of van.
Right. So a minivan, you can put out. Yeah, I got luggage, but it's not luggage, it's a bag.
They charge you for using the boot in the taxis in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
They charge you sometimes, some taxi drivers will try to charge you if you put your suitcase
too big,
which is supposed to be in the boot inside the car.
Really?
Yes. And they charge you for a dog.
Man.
Charge you for everything, and it's already very expensive.
Well, yeah. Relatively, taxis in Hong Kong are cheap.
Cheaper
than everywhere I've lived before. Cheaper than New York, cheaper than London, cheaper than UK.
Yeah, definitely cheaper than any. Yeah.
But it's still for Hong Kong, they cut you up and down.
Uber. Uber's a German word, right? I think it's a German word.
Yeah.
My friend used to say, oh, that's Uber. And it's like, when you're playing games, online gaming, or some people, ah, oh, Uber. All the get German gamers. Yeah.
Is it German or French? I'm definitely going to sign up.
Oh, it's definitely either Baltics or...
Yeah.
Or
do you want me to Google
German,
just in this discussion.
Yeah.
So we talked about wearable tank,
software
and your...
I'm going to talk about software again. I mean, I'm going to talk about New Year resolution, but I found an app for New Year resolution.
You can't talk about Uber.
You just talk
about Uber. No, it's called coach.me.
Coach.me.
Oh yeah, I actually went through their training program.
What the hell?
Really?
What is it?
They have a branch in Hong Kong?
No.
Oh, they have a training program.
You can go through online.
Oh, okay.
Explain to us, what is it?
Because the New Year is coming and a lot of people are doing their, again, New Year resolution for 2016.
Yeah.
There's an app can help you with that. It's called coach.me. When you sign up, you can choose different aspects. You can grow. For example, personally grow, get fit, practice a skill, improve happiness and relationships, be productive, whatever. And then you just choose one category you get in. For example, get fit. And then there are cardio plans, strength plans, yoga plans, whatever. You just join a plan, basically. You join a challenge, you join a plan, and there will be a group of people who will do it with you. And you just check in every day and to get encouragement from everybody or encourage others, ask questions. And it's like a friendly community that help you to achieve your goals.
Yeah, so it's basically like it's like every other habit building app out there. With a twist. So the twist is that you do it together with people that maybe you know or maybe you don't
like
know.
Like a partner, like a sparrer, like, you know.
But a whole community. Imagine like a Facebook group full of people doing the same thing as you.
Right?
So the premise is that you're doing, I don't know, you're trying to quit smoking. So you can go on to this community and say, look, I'm really having a tough time today. And then you've got real actual people to talk to you straight away. Yeah. So it adds to that community and accountability. And then on top of that, the reason why I said I did the coach training is because they have paid upgrades.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and for the paid upgrades, for depending on your own specialty, you can actually coach people. So if you want a personal coach on CoachMe, then you can pay for that, and then you can do that. I actually failed the exam, but then I didn't read their guidelines. I just rushed through it. He's like, "Oh, maybe you should retake it." I was like, "Okay," but it's something I want to look into.
Oh.
I think it's quite interesting.
Like an online coach on demand.
It's on demand again. It's like the same premise as the taxi service.
Yeah.
They're breaking it down to a lower level. So rather than you going and paying thousands of hundreds of pounds
for a coach,
for an actual coach to be physically here with you, you can pay for someone for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. All right. So it's like if I have a speciality in not about the coaching stuff, imagine my speciality is cooking or food stuff.
Chinese cooking, yeah.
And
you can do that.
Someone could hook up onto this platform, this web thing, where he's booked, say, 2 hours of your time,
yeah.
So that you could speak to them or train them or coach them.
Yeah, ask their questions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah. I think it's good, and especially this time of year, everyone's setting the New Year's resolution, and the majority of people won't complete their New Year's resolutions, right? So an app like this, I think, would be.
It's really
does it like give you set reminders and time?
Yeah, you can
alarms.
Set a lot of things, reminders, set privacy, like. Do you want other people to know how you are doing? If you fail, like in 3 days or whatever, do you want people to know? And I really like it. For example, there's a challenge called 10 by 10 exercise challenge. You exercise 10 minutes per day. For 10 days. And then this is a group of people. Right now I have 13,000 people joined for this challenge right now.
Have you started?
Yeah, started today.
Did you? When did I didn't see you do exercise.
Good luck.
I did at the staircase. I did do a squatting for 10 minutes. That's what I did.
Do you know how long 10 minutes is?
10 minutes.
I did 50.
Do squatting. When you're actually doing the exercise.
Don't be lazy. 10 minutes is nothing.
It's long, man.
Come on. Lloyd has done like trail running for like
I do 5 minutes of jog on the, you know.
That's just lazy.
Yeah.
Just
5
lazy.
Minutes. You know, 5 minutes is so long.
How many minutes in a single day?
Yeah, that's true.
In 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then you're complaining about one measly 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just don't join this challenge then. Join something like five by five or something.
One by one.
Yeah.
You do 1 minute.
Five burgers in 5 days. Yeah, I could do that.
So what else
have
you signed up for?
Yeah, so this is really cool. And I also signed up for
motivational
quotes. So you search or you post one motivational quote for the community.
Why is that good though?
Team spirit.
Yeah, it's team spirit.
Really?
Mindset,
you click in and you already see a new quote every day, and then you can join the discussion of the quote. You can post a new quote, you know.
So
what was your quote today?
Yeah, what's your quote?
I don't know if people will understand. I saw it on a TV show that is filmed by Solomon. It's called, that episode is called
Solomon
Why.
The sports brand.
Yes. That episode is called Why We Run. And that person wrote that book. It's a biologist. I forgot his name already. And at the end of the episode, he said, of course, I'd like to be a bird, but running is the second closest choice. So
the bird being free to roam, to fly, there's no restriction, no, you know, limitation. You know,
yeah.
A bird is just so free when you just fly, right? To be that.
That's the closest you can get to the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. That motivate me to run tonight.
So you haven't run yet.
I will, after
you,
this.
You
podcast.
Said you're
going to
run,
be
when you
I,
get
I
home.
I will. Next podcast, I will tell you if I run or not. This tonight.
True.
Actually, we're gonna check in on every week on how many completed goals.
Yeah.
This is the,
that's right. Yeah.
This is the accountability right here.
There you go. So this has been an interesting question I wanted to ask you, Lyrica. Is you have your iPhone 6, your S, this new phone, and to me and Lloyd, that phone is a pretty high tech piece of equipment, right? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Technology wise, there's a lot of stuff inside, high tech. You know, latest chips and all that kind of stuff. So us techies will look at that and say, yeah, it's got this screen, got this camera, it's got this chip, it's got this memory, blah blah blah, right? But for you, how would you see that phone? What is it? I mean, you don't look at that tech stuff, right?
No.
So what do you tell us in your point of view, what that phone represents for you?
For me?
Does it do because it's in
the
runs
battery
apps?
No, the battery lasts longer than the my 5S.
Okay, so you look for usability, right?
Yes.
Battery lasts longer. Where else?
But have you thought about the battery? Thinking, how long do you use your 5S? a year and a half, 2 years?
Maybe.
Right.
Around that.
So that's a 2-year-old battery versus a brand new battery.
We'll see in 2 years' time then.
What else? Come on, tell us.
The screen is a little bit bigger.
Screen's bigger,
a lot bigger.
5, 6X.
It feels like it's only
a little
bit, but yeah.
Okay, and?
And it's faster.
In terms of what? Opening, closing apps?
Everything. Really, everything.
Okay.
But changing apps, mainly.
If you think about it,
yeah.
Your 5S and your this new, brand new 6S, the apps are the same, right? Think about it.
Yeah, the app's the same.
Apps
even
the same.
iOS is the same.
Yeah. So, an older phone and a newer phone, this newer phone, and you know, in terms of your point of view,
it has Siri. It tells me the weather.
But
when
hasn't
I ask
the old
yeah,
Siri too? Has
no,
a,
you cannot say "Hey Siri."
Can you? I think you can.
You can. You need to plug it in though.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I think this is where marketing comes in, right? Where you have to get this new phone because it's so desirable, you know.
Is this marketing, or is this just general human nature, or is it that we've been marketed so much that it's become human nature?
Yeah,
yeah, I guess.
That's probably it.
Right. So it's one of the three, right? So I think it's the last one. It used
it's
to be marketing. I don't think they need to market to us as much these days.
Mm.
Because...
Doesn't need to tell me the new one's coming.
Yeah.
Especially with telephones.
The new one's coming out. Yeah, I have to get it. That's it. No, right.
Full stop. They've inbuilt this habit into us, just like Coach Me does.
Yeah.
That every 12 months or so, we're like, oh, should I get the phone? Get the phone?
Mm-hmm.
And every 12 months, you're like, you're either one or... another person. So the one person will ignore it and fight for past that 12, 13, 14 months.
And there's a new one.
And then they can wait then for the next 12 months.
Yeah.
Or you're the one who gets to the 8 months mark and you're like, oh shit, the new phone's coming up. I better start saving it. But then
yeah. You're
the first one to get it.
I know. I think for us techies, I think it doesn't really matter what type of phone it is, as long as it does the job, right? In terms of, you know, battery power, processing power, whatever, apps wise, for normal consumers like Lyrica, it's, you know, the how the user experience from her user experience of the old iPhone 5 versus what she gets now on the S, faster loading of the apps, you know, longer battery life, bigger screen, and all these fancy new features, right?
But then realistically, right, having repaired a lot of iPhones,
mm.
right, old and new, if you took your old phone, wiped it, cleaned and installed everything from new, you probably wouldn't tell much difference in terms of the speed.
So you're telling me my 5S, this one, has been running for about 2 years. Wipe it completely from, you know.
If I approached you, someone as a techie, and I said, my computer's running slow, I haven't clean installed it for 2 years. What should I do?
You wipe and reinstall Windows, right?
Why? Because you get an instant speed boost.
Yeah. Because you haven't got that junk anymore.
Yeah.
That stuff. Because when you upgrade iOS on top of iOS, it's still...
You've got 4 or 5 different versions of iOS on it.
Yeah. It's like having Windows upgraded to
Vista,
from Vista to 7, from 7 to 10. But the existing configuration files, whatever, is still there, right?
And each time you install something and install an app, there's always something left behind.
Yeah.
Obviously, it'll slow down quicker than the 6S.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Don't feel guilty of spending all that money.
No, also, that
makes
me thinking about the iCloud service. Because, like you said, if I wipe everything, then I need to get my things back and my information back, my contacts and everything. But the iCloud only allow you to have like 5 gigabytes.
5 gigs.
Don't be so tight. Pay for the paid upgrade.
How much is it?
It's literally like, I think it's
like $4 or $5?
$2 a month. Something for like 20 gig or 15 gig. Nothing.
But you can always back it on your laptop.
But
right?
Even
use your iTunes to back it up on your laptop.
Oh,
and
it's
then
so complicated.
It's not, you just plug in a cable, open iTunes, hit backup.
You shouldn't do that though. You shouldn't do it. You should do it as a backup, just in case you lose your data. But an iTunes backup will literally take everything off your phone and put everything back on.
Isn't that what you want?
No, because all the junk that you want to take off, you're going to put back on anyway.
Yeah.
So you get a marginal increase in speed because the base is reinstalled. but then all the crap from the old iOS and stuff is still there. iCloud, it actually, when you remove it, iCloud takes things from the App Store and puts it back on.
Yeah.
And then puts back your data on top of that, so you don't leave all the legacy files.
Okay.
But if you want the best use, every time I buy a new phone, I always start a new, I don't restore. I restore the contact lists and everything, but all my apps I reinstall.
Well, this is what I do.
Because I want to take advantage, right, of the speed.
I back up all my stuff on... I don't even back up any of the stuff.
Haha.
I don't.
You don't use Dropbox?
Not again. But I, for contact information and stuff like that, you know, you can use your Google Mail and your Google Contacts, and that'll sync.
Yeah, it does.
And that's what I use, Google Contacts.
But they do break connection sometimes.
Sometimes,
a lot of times.
Sometimes, yeah.
Most complaints about losing contacts is when people come in with Google Contacts.
Really?
And, yeah, most of them.
Huh. I know they work. I know they don't work in China though, because they block Google, don't they?
Oh yeah, that's true.
It never used to be that bad. I remember I was still able to access
Gmail. Used to be on and off, on and off,
on off. Yeah,
yeah.
Gmail used to be fine, and then
Instagram
and then
used to be fine.
BBC channels and websites are fine, but then it's kind of getting blocked badly now. Yeah,
because there are big events. I have to say,
recently.
Events happened. For example, Tibet issue. That time blocked quite a lot of things, and Occupy Central.
Yeah.
That kind of caused them to block Instagram completely.
Yeah.
And probably other apps that I don't.
Actually, that was one interesting thing. Do you know what software they were using to communicate?
Where?
During the Hong Kong.
They were using something via Bluetooth, weren't they?
They were using FireChat,
which is Bluetooth based.
Yeah, so it uses local Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
Yeah.
For location, it's a combination of both.
Aww,
so it doesn't require your cellular service.
So you don't need 3G service or 4G service, and you don't need an actual Wi-Fi connection. It just finds you, so you're the nearest person to me, and it connects to your phone, so then we can chat. But then because you were connected to Winston, because you're closer to him, then the three of us can chat.
Yeah, so it works
because
almost
they were
like
all sitting there.
Because they were all sitting there, right?
Yeah, it worked on peer-to-peer.
Peer-to-peer, same as how Skype is built.
Skype?
Is peer-to-peer.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're telling me back then when we did our very first podcast and I was calling you on Skype, we were locally connected?
It was...
In that sense.
It's a hybrid of peer-to-peer.
So we don't need to be hooked onto the server as such?
You still do in some way. I don't know. I can't explain it exactly.
Yeah.
But then Skype has always been built on some form of peer-to-peer.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Skype, yeah, that's right.
Do you remember?
I remember, yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they use FireChat, which is a completely free app.
Yeah.
And
but it didn't work as well as... I had a go on it, and I thought it was a bit...
Well, unless you've got someone to chat to, it's kind of useless.
Yeah, they had these chat rooms. They had these chat rooms inside, which is a bit... Meh. And, you know... You couldn't. I don't think you could save contacts. Or you did have contacts, but they're, because they're not online using that app, they're never.
But they're not unidentified. But then you just based on your FireChat username.
Yeah.
You're available to everyone.
That's right. Yeah.
So you
can't
hide yourself.
That's right. Yes, it's not like a WhatsApp or a Skype where.
It's tied to a telephone number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
So.
Okay.
Again, you know, the way the software, they can block the Instagram, they can block the Facebook, they can block everything, but then you're not going to block via chat. Because that means you physically have to go to everybody's phone and turn off the Wi-Fi. And
turn off the Bluetooth.
Yeah. That was quite smart, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that technology's been around, and you know, I think with the events of government blocking all sorts of stuff, I think
somebody just
probably,
said, let's use FireChat.
Yeah,
you
probably see a lot of this type of app coming out now. In fact, if the Bluetooth technology expands, I think it's on Bluetooth 4.0 now. They're probably
something like that.
I mean, if you push it to the next level, 5.0 or whatever, then maybe extended range. I don't know, more devices can connect to it. But I think the other thing was the security as well.
Yeah. Well, eventually, I think everything's going to be smaller network. Like Facebook. Is it Facebook? I think Facebook is trialing in the US the airplanes with Wi-Fi.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So rather than having satellites up in space, they have like planes above, I think, whatever certain height, but then a lot lower and closer to Earth, and they just keep circling. So they're basically bouncing the Wi-Fi signals up and down, and using that to extend the Wi-Fi. And then it works kind of like a peer-to-peer network, because when you've got two different kites. So it's basically the same technology, but...
Interesting.
Fancy.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Facebook and Google want to give us all free internet.
Well, as you move on to there, I mean, the telecom companies are already pushing or working on this 5G, which they haven't done any trials on yet, but they know that the speed will be tenfold of what 4G is.
Yeah.
On top of that, you got Li-Fi.
What's that?
Using the light as a Wi-Fi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like 20 times or more speed. No, 100 times the speed of Wi-Fi.
Because it's the speed of light. But then isn't light intermittent?
Because light has, I don't know how many wavelengths it has.
Yeah.
It's based on the wavelength. And the Wi-Fi, the data part, data
package.
Stream packets work on a range of the spectrum, so it won't flicker. No, you will. Your human eye won't recognize it. It's amazing.
It work through light or through your light bulb?
Light.
Light.
Yeah, light.
So you use a laser to like.
No. It's imagine just like the light bulb. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how they haven't obviously perfected the technology yet, but they worked. Seen TED talks.
Yeah.
And there's one guy testing the light bulb for Wi-Fi, and it compared to 3G or 4G, and it was like 20 times faster.
Fascinating.
Yeah. On top of that, you can dual purpose.
Times faster.
You can dual purpose this Wi-Fi
really matter,
with
though,
solar power.
Because 20 times faster means we're just going to download 20 times more data, which means it's just equal speed.
I'd say 20 times could be more, but yeah, this it
that's
means that
watch TV series more smoothly.
Yeah, it means that you could be anywhere as long as there's a
light
bulb.
Do you know what I did 2 years ago? I did investigate, and I contacted some guys in Shenzhen about prototyping.
Wow.
It's basically a Wi-Fi signal extender.
Yeah.
Right, but the magic was. That this extender would be like cheapest chips, little tiny device.
Yeah, like a hotspot. Not a hotspot, an access point.
An access point, right?
Yeah.
But then it wasn't like the normal when you buy these extenders, this super big range.
Yeah.
It was just a small range. But the premise being you buy lots of these and connect them into your light bulb socket.
Okay.
Because that's always got power, right?
Yeah.
And each room has one.
So,
or two, or three, or four.
So each little device or chip will have to have a IP address or MAC address or some sort of,
which is infinite number anyway.
Yeah,
almost
for your internal,
kind of
yeah
for internal use.
Yeah,
and then as long as you got them all, so imagine this house, you got 5-6 light bulbs anyway.
It's like having those home plugs.
Yeah,
but not home plugs itself, but light plugs.
Yeah,
right?
Because the signal, if you put the problem with the home plugs is that they're too low, right? So they get blocked by furniture.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of defeats the object. So if you have them up high and then it can beam down the signal, then.
Haven't they got something already? Awesome.
Yeah, but then the only
yeah,
the thing that I failed that and I couldn't figure out was what happens when you turn the light off.
That's true. If you turn your light off, then
there's no
Wi-Fi signal.
And then if you add the battery, then it becomes bigger.
Yeah.
And then kind of thing. So I'm like, okay, fine. But I think it's still an interesting kind of concept.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Because if it's low power enough, you know, theoretically, as long as you got the light on.
No, not necessarily. Because
whoever's listening to this, it's gonna build on this idea.
That's fine.
No, not necessarily, because if you switch off the light, there's no electric going to the light bulb, but there's still electric going to the chip. You know, the
no, there's not. So that whole line is turned off if you turn off the light switch.
But it's like.
But you could.
You can control with these new LED.
Yes, you can control
the LED.
You can turn the extender into a light switch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that's added technology, which is added cost, which defeats the whole object of being cheap and cheerful.
Yeah, some of these newer lighting, LED lighting, you know, lights with the controllers, you can actually control the different colors and lights and
spectrum.
Also, yeah, and the controller outputs certain amounts of electrical current to those LED lights. So therefore, if you can switch it on to say Wi-Fi only.
No, that's
right?
Different because that's they're low voltage. You don't need to be an electrician to install those. For these, you have to be an electrician because they're high voltage. Because that's untapped like 250 volts or 240 volts.
But I'm sure
versus 16 volts.
Yeah, well, yeah,
watts.
I guess. Oh, that's true.
It's the big difference. If you lick an LED light bulb, you're not going to die.
But
if you lick that light bulb, you will die.
Yeah, but how about if you switch that to an LED lighting system? Then you can have. Turn into Li-Fi mode or light mode, Li-Fi mode.
But potentially that could be too low power then, isn't it, for the range you're trying to reach?
Yeah.
But just one room.
Yeah.
I think it should be enough.
Because the point is, it's not one device to cover the entire room.
Let's have a look at this.
Oh, it's like
few. A few devices. So you make them as cheap as possible so you can just plug in whichever dark spot of Wi-Fi you have.
Let's have a look at my Cisco router here. How much wattage it uses? Volts.
Now, how much it uses and how much it actually outputs from the thing is just two different things.
0.5 amps at 12 volts. Here you go, 12 volts. At 1 amp.
Yeah, I don't know how to calculate that though.
So, it's not that. Yeah, it's not that power. Well,
it's not that.
It's
power
not
hungry.
Power hungry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like an iPhone charger, right? It outputs a 5 volts at 1 amp or 2 amps. So look. Here you go. iPhone charger.
12 volts, is it?
No. Oh, 5 volts. Because you can't.
Oh, the iPad. The iPad is 12.
I can't see it, too tiny, but it's too small. But yeah, so it's on a 12 volt of 1 amp, so if you can do that, then...
5 at 1.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old man, he's small.
I need glasses. Okay, so we covered pretty much everything that we needed to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any more
funding? Coach me.
Coach.
New Year resolution. What is yours?
For me? Oh, wearable apps. Oh, wearable apps. Wearable tech.
No. What's your New Year's resolution?
Oh, me?
Okay, what's the one thing that you would like to achieve in 2016?
For you guys to visit the site, listen to our podcast, watch the videos.
No, that's passive. That's someone else doing it. What's your...
For me, oh god, you see?
See, you cannot do the personal stuff, and you know, you have to put some real feeling to this podcast.
I'm gonna hit the gym and maybe do some running, I think.
Maybe? That's not a resolution.
Yeah.
So what is success? How is that defined? Would you, if I make a suggestion, would you commit to it? Would you consider it?
What suggestion is that?
You finish a 10K race.
Oh.
By the end of next year.
10K?
That's 12 months away.
Yeah.
You need to train your body for that.
You got 12 months to train.
You got 12 months to train for 10K. Usually people need 2 to 3 months to train for 10K.
That's like...
From zero.
I could do that. Yeah, I could do that. If I could do 1K... per month, 12 months, that's almost 12K.
Oh, you mean you add on
1K
every month?
Yeah, add 1,
yeah.
Completely doable. 1 kilometer, that's nothing. Like you probably walk more than that every day.
That means by June I need to do 6K.
That's okay, you've done 5 before.
By June, how many weeks is that? That's 6 times 4.
That's 24 weeks.
Yeah, 24 weeks.
Yeah. Okay, and one thing you need to quit.
What's that?
In 2016.
Oh, okay. So she means one thing you're going to add and one thing you're going to take away.
Get rid of.
So what have I added? The 10K
fitness.
Race.
Yeah.
10K race. Getting fit and run.
One thing I need to take off.
Mm.
I don't know. Is there anything I need to take off?
Just some suggestions, you know, maybe drink less, smoke less. But you have to have a month, like saying. Specific.
Eat less,
eat
I guess.
Less.
Yeah. Yeah, the amount of food I is crazy. I mean, not saying that I'm huge or anything, but
people probably will imagine him being like a 200
pounds.
Pound.
You're actually not that chubby.
He's not.
I used to be fat, as in.
Never that brown person.
I have a belly.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, small one.
Alright, Lloyd's turn.
I think for me it's definitely to add is the back to fitness.
Back
as
to
in
fitness.
Start my racing again. So I want by next season to be able to do the Lantau Two Peaks. Maybe the even Moontrekker. So Lantau Two Peaks is a 23-kilometer race. Straight up a mountain, straight down a mountain, then straight up a mountain, then straight down a mountain. And then...
What's the big one?
That's crazy. That's already extreme. That's like extreme sports.
That's one of the toughest ones in Hong Kong.
Lantau Two Peaks.
Yeah.
Which
is my fastest time is only like 5.5 hours.
But where's the
where's
the one you said was a 50k race? That was 50k.
50k is not necessarily harder than that 23k.
Yeah.
Because that 23 is straight up, straight down. There's no really flat. It's just up down.
All right.
Two peaks.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
50k. Once you hit a relatively decent fitness level, it's just sustain.
Yeah, okay. So there's no uphill, downhill, it's more just... Okay, just your regular
But these,
track.
These are the two tallest mountains, or third tallest mountain in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You just go straight up and you go straight down.
Okay.
Lantau Peak is a killer, man.
Yeah.
Second tallest and the third tallest.
Oh, no, I never done anything.
That's
I'm
not your
goal,
that's the lowest goal. Okay.
That's what I'd add, and to take away would definitely be junk food. They go hand in hand. Well, I've lost my routine completely this year. I've been eating so much shit. I think I've had like, since I come back from UK, maybe 5 or 6 McDonald's.
Oh.
I think that's like quadruple what I've had like in the last 12 months already. So it's really bad. And I've only been home for like 2 months.
That's not
really
too
bad.
I mean, some people eat like, I know some person eat like maybe 2-3
different habits.
Yeah, yeah.
A week.
But for me, I digest really quickly, so I get my energy from my food, for sure.
Yeah, I'm a...
So if I'm eating McDonald's, then I've got no motivation to do anything else, because I've got no energy, because McDonald's gives you no energy.
High metabolism,
right?
Yeah, metabolic rate.
So
what about you? Did you mention yours?
Yeah, you have to do yours, it's only fair.
Yeah,
I need you to do running.
What does that mean?
I will do a 10K race by the end of 2016.
That's his...
With wisdom.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, well,
we can
actually,
motivate
that,
each other.
That makes it easy for me because then
with
Moy
as well, because it's so easy for
I'm
you
not
anyway.
The only one that involved in this. Okay.
So we three can do a 10K race at the end of 2016. And to get rid of. Oh my god.
Your weird Chinese food.
Yeah, I guess get rid of sleeping at irregular time. I want to.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah, I want to sleep earlier every night.
Because
get
of
up.
The crazy work lifestyle in Hong Kong, you don't get to have regular sleep. And
but
sleep
even,
patterns
but
are.
But Hong Kong culture is easy to. Don't swear. It's easy to kind of.
We can beep it.
It's easy to sleep and wake up at any time.
Yeah.
There's always food. There's always shops open.
But then broken sleep is not
it's
great.
It's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is
so,
the worst.
And if you wake up middle of the night and then you try to sleep and then you got to work early in the morning and then you get back, you don't have... It messes up your sleeping pattern and that could be bad for your health. Not in terms of like, you know, tiredness. you can actually gain weight from that.
That actually, I was gonna say, that actually increases your insulin level closer to like a diabetic
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
See,
so,
but doing what I'm doing, you need to get up at 2 or 3 a.m. to help organizing a race, and then you walk to your like.
See,
midnight.
That was just an excuse to quit your job.
She has a plan. She has a plan.
I'm planning on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, this is, I think this is another great podcast. We had a lot of topics to chat about.
Mm-hmm.
And
have a guess how much time we talked.
I have no
idea.
2 hours.
120. It's gone quick.
That's gone quick, yeah. Just a quick word. So, a final
reminder
to just join our forums, get signed up.
Not just to join the forums, sign up to win the case.
Yeah, I was going to say, big shout out to Chris for arranging this for us. Why not sign up, and there's a chance to win a brand new Bitfenix case. So yeah, I think this this is going to be a great 2016 coming.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy
for
New
sure.
Year to you all, and looking forward to another great year.
A funky 2016,
funky,
should we say?
Funky 2016, yes.
Funky 2016.
So until our next podcast, see you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.